Morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed.
Those were my favorite cartoons when I was a child growing up every Saturday morning. That's the only time they were on. Now it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week if you want to. We're going to spend some time again today on wisdom, generalities about wisdom. And, you know, I thought about this last week. Some of you may not be all that pleased that I've chosen to speak on the topic of wisdom for several weeks. Some of you may be thinking, you know, just preach the gospel. I mean, how can you call yourself a gospel preacher if you're not preaching the gospel? Some of you may also be wondering, why are we spending time in the Old Testament? Old Testament, you know, old covenant, nailed to the cross, you know, a couple thousand years ago. You know, why are we even thinking about the Old Testament? Others may be thinking, why don't you just preach about Jesus? I mean, it's all about Jesus, right? You know, he's the plan of salvation. And that's what people really need to hear and to know and whom to believe in order to be saved. So is there anything more important than salvation and Jesus? And there are probably some of you who just can't get very enthused about, you know, wisdom literature because a lot of it's difficult to understand. Besides Proverbs and Psalms, you have Job and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon, which are written in archaic poetic language. You know, it's difficult for us to understand. We're not very familiar with that kind of literature. And what adds support to that argument is what the preacher of Ecclesiastes wrote about wisdom. And it wasn't very supportive. This is what he said in Ecclesiastes 2, 15 and 16. He said, I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this also is vanity. So why bother to spend time on literature that the biblical author of Ecclesiastes himself thought was a waste of time? That's a good question. And rather than me trying to make a futile attempt to defend preaching on wisdom, I'm going to allow wisdom this morning to be its own witness and make her own defense. Wisdom began its defense, actually, in the reading that Jerry just read for us in Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. And I'm going to look at that a little bit in detail. Verse 13 indicates that the one who finds wisdom is blessed. And then explains what those blessings are. Verse 14 indicates that wisdom is more profitable than silver or gold. I wonder how many of us actually believe that. I see advertisements on TV and I hear them sometimes on the radio about how silver and gold, you know, are good investments and you need to have some of those tangible assets in your portfolio. And they're always talking about, oh, gold is going to double, you know, in the next 6 months and so is silver, so you need to buy some. Well, according to Proverbs, no matter how high gold or silver rises in value, wisdom will always bring a greater profit. And wisdom only increases in value. It never decreases. How would you like to have an asset that never, ever decreased in value? In fact, it was guaranteed never to decrease in value. And God is in a sense kind of our financial advisor. He created gold and silver as well as wisdom. And he's telling you that one is far greater in value than the other, which of course would be wisdom. In verse 15 of Proverbs 3, it reads, "She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her." Now, you may not be able to convince a young lady who is seeking to marry that the gift of wisdom is far more precious than the gift of a diamond, but it's true. And she will discover that as the years go by. But I would still go ahead and buy her a diamond, because that would be wise. But the point the author's making is that there's no physical asset on this earth, or any other asset, that's as valuable as having godly wisdom. A skeptic, you know, might raise the point, well, what evidence do you have to back that up? I mean, you know, wisdom can't buy you food, it can't keep you warm when it's cold. You know, but if you keep reading, verse 16, the very next verse, indicates that long life is in her right hand. And in her left hand are riches and honor. And evidence can kind of be found for that in the life of Solomon in 1 Kings 3. In verse 9, when Solomon was you know, established as the successor to his father David's kingdom in Israel, he prayed to God. When he was ascending the throne, he prayed to God, and this is what he prayed for: an understanding mind to be able to govern the people and discern between good and evil. That's what he prayed for. So he understood the value of wisdom and the need for it. And God was so pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom rather than long life or wealth or the death of his enemies. So much so that God said in verses 10 through 14, "I'm not only going to give you a wise and discerning heart, but I'm also going to give you what you didn't ask for: wealth and honor." And God also said to Solomon, "If you live in obedience to me and you keep my commands, I'm also going to give you long life." So long life, riches and honor and wisdom came to a man, or was given to a man, who sought only wisdom, which is exactly what Proverbs 3:16 teaches. Riches, honor, and long life are byproducts of wisdom. And if you make it your goal to seek godly wisdom, he's telling us that wealth and honor and long life comes with it. I mean, it's a package deal. Proverbs 22:4 sort of supports this. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Humility, or fearing the Lord, is, as you know, as we've talked about in past weeks, is the beginning of wisdom, which according to Proverbs here makes you a very wealthy person. So not only does godly wisdom give you riches, honor, and long life, but there's more. Proverbs 3, if you keep reading, 17 and 18, "Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed." So wisdom not only blesses your life in quantity, but also quality. She provides a much more pleasant and peaceful life. And isn't that what we desire? Don't we desire a pleasant and peaceful life? A husband and wife were reminiscing one time about their life together, and the husband said, "Honey, I've seen you through all the rough spots of life." And the wife responded by saying, "Yep, and you didn't miss a one of those rough spots." Wisdom is described here as a tree of life. And the term tree of life is mentioned several times in the Bible. It's a metaphor for providing you with what you need in life. In Revelation, it provides spiritual healing because it is nourished by the river of life that flows from the throne of God. That's what wisdom is, a tree of life. It's spiritual nourishment. Now, wisdom doesn't guarantee that there won't be any rough spots. You know, what's it telling you? It's going to smooth those rough spots out for you. Proverbs 3:6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." Wisdom is a source of spiritual, emotional, and physical nourishment for one's life. So, has wisdom made her case this morning? Is it worth preaching and teaching about wisdom? The evidence presented is that her value is unsurpassed by anything on earth. She brings riches, honor, long life, and healing. But wisdom is going to call another witness to testify here this morning. Proverbs 3, 19 and 20, that's Jerry stopped at 18, but if you go on to 19 and 20 in Proverbs 3, it says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew." Interesting that God partnered with wisdom to create the heavens and the earth. Wisdom played a critical role in creation, and you know as well as I do that man has not comprehended all the secrets of creation yet. In fact, no matter how long man lives, he'll never fully mine the depths of wisdom. I mean, it's quite a testimony to wisdom that God himself partnered with her to create the heavens and the earth. Wisdom even describes how God partnered with her at creation in Proverbs 8, 22 through 31. I'll just read verse 30. It says, "Wisdom indicates that she was right beside God like a master workman. She was his daily delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man." So I personally don't think the value of wisdom can be understated. It should be obvious to us that we need to seek it with all of our hearts. We need to do what Solomon did and pray for it. I mean, it talks about that in James, that if you ask for wisdom, God will give it to you. According to Jesus in Matthew 7, 24 in the Sermon on the Mount, wisdom, who worked with God to create the universe, works with you to create a life with a firm foundation. He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." See, a wise person, a person with wisdom, builds his or her life on the wisdom of God. And then he said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." The fool never learns the wisdom of God, never really grasps her value. And that's such a tragedy. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain." So it's a pure waste of time to build your life on anything other than the wisdom of God. During the 10 years that we lived in Kansas City, there was this vacant, unfinished house that was sitting on a rather large piece of property that was intended originally to be a development. But there was just this one house sitting on this property. And it really was never, like I said, it was unfinished. It really didn't have any finished siding on it. It just had, you know, the plywood siding. And all the windows were boarded up. It was this one lone house. And it just sat there for years. And no one ever finished it. No one ever lived in it. It was eventually torn down. You know, you think about what a waste of time and money. And that's sort of a metaphor for every life that does not build on the rock that is the word and wisdom of God. Wisdom could probably rest her case right now, but there's one more witness to call. Proverbs 3, 21 through 26, the father reveals the value of wisdom to his son. He says, "My son, don't lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul, an adornment for your neck. Then you'll walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." So the father is saying, wisdom protects you. She guards you from falling spiritually. The Hebrew word for stumble means to be injured, even to the point of a fatal injury. So wisdom helps you avoid the pitfalls of life. When I began walking for exercise years ago when we were living in Kansas City, I would go out real early in the morning, and usually it was dark, you know, and I would walk on the sidewalk. I didn't trust it when it's dark. I didn't want to walk in the street, so I would walk on the sidewalk, and you know how uneven sidewalks can be. So Kim bought me this headlamp. And because she didn't want me to trip and fall while I was walking, and it worked, you know, it worked. And now I use it to avoid the skunks when I walk through here in the mornings here. But you know, as one ages and sleep becomes a problem. Just because of the, you know, a lot of the physiological changes our bodies experience. Now, I've not been bothered by that too much yet. The times when sleep evades me are the times when I have said something or done something that I shouldn't have. Times when I failed to do things that I said I was going to do, or just when I'm anxious about something. That's when sleep evades me. And he said in those verses, wisdom is there to protect you and so that you can sleep. Sleep. According to verse 24, it guards you when you sleep. Your sleep will be, it says, sweet. Like it was last night after the game. In other words, you'll have a clear conscience. And you'll know your future is secure no matter what happens to you physically. You'll be able to sleep. You know, the last thing anyone needs really is a conscience that will not let you sleep, or to experience anxiety that prevents you from sleeping. So, at this point, I think wisdom can rest her case. She says she brings riches, honor, long life. She brings healing and security. She guards your life so that you can rest at night. And probably the most convincing testimony of all, at least for me, is the fact that she was with God during creation. He utilized her to create the world. So why would you not expend every effort you could to obtain wisdom? If God found it necessary to partner with wisdom, then you too should consider it essential to seeking wisdom. You need her as a partner in your life so you can benefit from her. So not only to enhance your life, which it will do greatly, but also enhance the life of others and bring glory to God. Where can you find wisdom? Where is it? I mean, that's just kind of a general topic, wisdom. It's the Word of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's in the Bible, and you all have multiple copies of Bibles. Read your Bible. Meditate on your Bible, in the words of your Bible. Then go out and practice it. I have found personally from my experience that the more I read God's Word, the more time I spend in it, it becomes part of me. I begin to actually live it out. The better I know it, I begin to live it out. And I plead with you, and she pleads with you this morning. Woman Wisdom pleads with you. Make it a priority in your life. You know, the new year is coming quickly. It's less than a month away. Be a great time to give yourself a little New Year's resolution that you're going to read your Bible every single day. That not a day will go by that you'll read your Bible. That's where the wisdom of God is found. Don't neglect it, because it'll significantly enhance your life, as we learned this morning. Okay, on your communication card, there's three suggested next steps this morning. I hope you'll take all three. If you can, I hope you'll take two. If you can, I hope you'll at least take one. Memorize Proverbs 3:6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Read Proverbs 3:13 through 26, and accept the partner challenge. As God made wisdom His partner, make wisdom your partner. Seek it and get as much of it as you can. It'll bless you over and over again. Now, you might think that the gospel is more important than wisdom, but isn't it wisdom that helps one know that you need to obey the gospel? I mean, have you partnered with wisdom to know that you must obey the gospel, that it must be obeyed? And I advise you to open up your Bible and read the gospels. Not just Proverbs. Wisdom's all throughout God's Word. If you seek to know God and what you must do to be saved, wisdom will reveal it to you through the Word, through the Spirit. And so I encourage you, please seek it. Wisdom says, obey the gospel. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to do that this morning. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus yet, today is the day to do that. But so is tomorrow. But today's the better, because today's now. Do it today. Obey the gospel. He's here now. He's ready to accept you. We encourage you right now. You can respond by coming down front, by going into the back, seeing one of us afterwards. Either way, do it for your own sake. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing.